This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Yes.
Yay.
God, thanks, buddy.
It's going to be a great short week.
It's going to be. Thank you. Good to be with all of you this morning. If you didn't get up with us yesterday because you were on holiday, we appreciate you getting up with us this morning. I'm Sean Pendergast. He's Seth Payne. How you feeling this morning, my friend? How you doing?
I feel good. I'm mourning the loss of Stefon Diggs.
It's
a
official,
little bit.
Yeah.
More so, I'm mourning the loss of the $16.5 million of cap space.
Yeah. Let's get right down to brass tacks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll miss you.
An ex-girlfriend. What do you really miss?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, she was kind of a drag in a lot of ways.
Yeah. But in one way.
I miss the consistency of some things.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So I miss that $16.5 million of cap space.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they were going to spend it regardless, but it would be nice to have a human being attached to it.
It would. So Stefon Diggs, officially a free agent. The contract voids yesterday, $16.6 million, I believe, hits the cap. It was already baked into a lot of the numbers that you've been seeing out there. I saw Texans cap kind of did a rework of everything yesterday because I didn't realize Foley Fanikasi had a little bit of cap lanyap on his contract as well, I guess. I saw his name popping up. So I guess you do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around, and according to Texans cap, they're sitting there with Couple or 3 million in cap space, somewhere in there right now. Yeah,
boy, with inflation, it's hard to buy. It's hard to buy a good football player for $3.5 million in free agency these days.
Yes, yeah. Zach Bond, $3.5 million to the Eagles, though. Never say never. You know, there's always.
That's a really good point.
You know,
yeah. Zach Bond, All Pro.
Yeah,
1 year contract.
It happens all the time.
$3.5 million.
All the time. Look at every All Pro team. It's littered with $3.5 million journeymen.
Zach Bond is now the Arian Foster of the veteran free agency.
Yeah, it kind of is.
For the rest of Houston Texans history, people will look at every undrafted free agent and say, hey, Arian Foster.
Yeah.
And now every journeyman linebacker on a one-year deal in free agency is going to be like, hey, Zach Bond.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do,
man. Pull off of Zach Bond.
That's it. So Diggs is gone. So now we're at a point now then where, okay, the wide receiver situation for the Texans feels very real right now. You know, it's Nico and it's some young guys who haven't done a really good job of getting open, and it's a lot of free agents.
Yeah, it's Nico and basically what you've had in the playoffs at times. Going back to the Ravens game last year where it was Nico and Robert Edwards and Xavier Hutchinson and a couple other guys, Robert Woods, excuse me, and guys like that. Now, you know, there's the hope for the upside perhaps that you get more out of Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie with a new offensive coordinator,
yeah.
But that's still a bit of a flyer.
Yep.
You know, neither one of those guys have urgent athleticism.
Yeah.
So I do feel like you need a bona fide number two at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And barring Tank Dell coming back ridiculously fast from multiple knee injuries, it's something either through the draft or in free agency that you got to fill. I just want at least one more veteran guy out there, one more veteran proven guy. Doesn't have to be T. Higgins.
No,
I don't need to go spending money on T. Higgins.
No, T. Higgins, and looks like the Bengals may franchise tag him again. And try to trade him. So that's and I see all these people on social media like, oh, poor T. Higgins is getting franchise tagged again. Oh, poor T. Higgins.
I'm
like,
stop being injured all the time.
Well, he's getting like $25 million guaranteed or something like that. You know what I mean? Like they didn't just kick him to the curb and hand him a bunch of food stamps. Like, he's going to get paid a lot of money, and the Bengals want to extract value out of it. And by the way, If I see any players complaining about it, I'm like, go to your union. Like, you guys agree to this franchise tag every year.
Yeah, listen, NFLPA, of which I was once a member, in which I still get benefits from. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are the worst union in sports. You guys can't. You can't do a single damn thing when it comes time to negotiate a CBA without guys spouting off on media about, like, no, this is dumb. Yeah. Like, yeah. Major League Baseball, you never hear a peep out of anybody.
No.
They are aligned. They do. Guys like Bregman, you'd love for your Major League Baseball players to be unselfish.
Right.
I do, you know, and take the hometown discount. There is genuinely a part of that union where they feel like, I kind of owe it to everybody else to get the most money possible. Like, they're, so whether you agree with that or disagree with it, it's, they are aligned in a way that football, which is the ultimate team sport, requires cohesion amongst 53 players.
Right.
You got to get them all working in unison. When it comes to actually operating on their own, they go, hey, I'll chill. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you won't make me play 21 games in a season? Take whatever you want. Take whatever you want.
Dude, can you imagine if... That's a great point about the baseball players union, about how they are kind of all for one and one for all. If it had gotten out that Bregman rejected an offer for $40 million a year from the Boston Red Sox, like if he had stayed here or if he'd gone to the Cubs, and it gets out that, like, you know, Bregman rejected $40 million a year from the Red Sox. You're right. There would have been, like, guys would have been angry with him.
There's pressure from the boy, how do I make an analogy to the Nuremberg trials here without going viral for all the wrong reasons? But I'm okay. So I'm watching this documentary on Hitler, and it's a six part series on Netflix, and it's pretty good. It's tough with anything World War II. You can do six episodes on something, and the entire time I'm being the annoying one sitting next to Brandy saying, like, well, they kind of glossed over this really important thing.
Well,
like,
you're a historian. That's okay.
It's World War II.
Oh, that's true.
It's big.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm watching the Nuremberg guys, the Nuremberg pals.
Right.
I think there are 21 that were there at the first set of trials.
Yeah.
And they get up to give their closing their final statements, you know,
mm-hmm.
Defending themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about trying to put myself in their situation.
Yeah.
And wondering, like, none of those guys, none of them just flat out said, like, yeah, no, these guys are idiots. I was totally innocent. They tried to blame Hitler as much as possible.
Yeah.
That's easy. He's dead. But I wondered how much, like, just being there next to all your compatriots is, there's a social pressure there to the point where even to save yourself, you'd have to stand up with the 20 other guys standing right there, where none of them really went all in on trying to blame others or anything. Like, man, that's admirable is not the right word. I think it's a show of just the way humans operate.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so likewise with the union, you got to think, like, okay, you expect one guy to go out and just act on his own, but there's just so much pressure within that union to do right by the union.
Yeah,
and the NFL is just simply not that way.
Yep.
You know, which but the one thing about baseball though that's cool from the fan perspective is that they play their contracts out.
Yes.
It's very, very rare for you to hear a guy agitating to get out of his contract or even agitating to get traded. And a lot of that comes from the union just being in lockstep saying, like, listen, we want to extract maximum contracts. We got to be sure that the owners feel comfortable that they're going to get the length of this service out.
Yeah,
of
dude, it's funny because we're kind of all over the place in this segment, but it's interesting.
What are you talking about?
No.
We went to 1945 and back. That's all.
We did. We went to World War II and back. But to your point, one of the big news items in baseball yesterday was Mike Trout is moving to right field. You know, he's for the Angels. The Angels are moving him to right field to preserve him. Like, Mike Trout, as banged up as he's been the last several years, the Angels are a dumpster fire. And if this were another sport, Mike Trout would probably, and maybe he still does, maybe he puts together a great first half of the season. He's not in a great position to demand a trade. But that type of player, guy who's been a marquee guy, Mike Trout's played in three playoff games his entire career. He's been in the league for like 13 years. He's been arguably, over that time, the best player. I know the last few years he's only played half the games, but over the course of that footprint of his career, you can make an argument he's been the best player in baseball. And you're right, you don't hear about that a lot in baseball, like guys agitating for stuff like that.
So the other, if people are wondering, don't worry, we're not going back to Nuremberg. If you're wondering about what's available out there, the marquee free agents and as wide receivers, there's T. Higgins, which again, I don't think the Texans are in a position where they have to go all in on trying to get T. Higgins.
No,
but it's not. There's flaws with all of these guys, but Chris Godwin would be the next one after T. Higgins. Then you get to Amari Cooper. Stephon Diggs, the fourth ranked by PFF. DeAndre Hopkins right after Stephon Diggs. Marquise Brown.
Okay.
There's an excitement level to Marquise Brown in terms of he's not the perfect guy or the perfect all-around wide receiver, but he adds a speed element.
He does.
That could really so
they need.
Marquise Brown might be the sweet spot.
Yeah, because he's not going to be super expensive. I mean, think about that. Think about this. I mean, this is how thin the free agent market is at wide receiver. Think about what DeAndre Hopkins looked like in the playoffs. Like, he was a non-factor. He a total non-factor in the postseason. He was largely a non-factor as a Chief, except for a few games where I remember coming in on Monday like, oh, thanks a lot, Titans, for giving them DeAndre Hopkins. He is headed way more towards being a non-factor. He's fifth on the PFF list. He's fifth among wide receivers. Diggs is fourth, and he missed half the season last year with an ACL. So it's kind of slim pickings, but you're right, Seth. If there are certain things that guys do well, and that's what Nick Caley told us, he takes what guys do well and accentuates those things. It's about putting guys, it's not running the West Coast offense. It's not, that press conference, they tried really hard to try to get him to admit to a label for his offense, and he wouldn't. You're right. Yeah. If you find certain guys on this list, it's not so much about where they're ranked, it's about what they bring to the table for the Texans.
Right. When with Marquise Brown, like the 4.27 40 is a pretty good illustration of just he's fast and he's not a complete and total and everything you want in a wide receiver, but they need speed out there. They need speed in the wide receiving core other than Nico Collins.
Yeah. Diggs is fourth. His free agent comparison is Pierre Garçon in 2017. I think you're making me go back and look at Pierre Garçon's contract.
Pierre Garçon's last year would be 2018.
Yeah.
He was 30 or 30. I think he was coming off an injury at the time. Remember he had those, did he have a quad issue?
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, so it's not a super, super enticing group of wide receivers that when you start talking about obvious second tier guys.
That's right.
Or second, wide receiver two on your roster.
Good way to put it. Yep. All right, we're off and running. So Stephon Diggs contract void. By the way, we will be talking to Nick Caserio tomorrow at 7:30 on the show. Texans executive vice president and general manager. We'll ask about that and a whole lot. We got a lot to get to. I was thinking about that yesterday, man. We got a lot to get to with Nick Caserio tomorrow. So we're looking forward to the GM coming back on the show with us at 7:30 on Wednesday. Make sure you put that in your calendar. Up next, boy, Seth touched on this yesterday, the Rafael Devers situation in Boston. Apparently he was just kind of side-eyeing the whole Bregman press conference for good reason. He ain't giving up third base for the Boston Red Sox. We got some good stuff, some juicy drama for a former Astro coming up next. Also a quick reminder that we've got the big Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Listen up right now if you want to qualify to win a trip to Vegas. Listen for an hour each day to us, Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app. You could win a trip to Circa in Vegas to watch the college basketball tournament in their big sports book, amazing sports book, their stadium swim, as well. That ultimate experience, you're going to have an extra $20K in your pocket to spend while you're there. Download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day, and you'll get your daily entry to the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest.
Karam Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I love that something you took notice of yesterday, Seth, or you saw an article about, and we highlighted it on the show a couple of times. It's turning into something, and that's Rafael Devers ain't giving up third base in Boston for Alex Bregman.
So I had tweeted and said, drama. The article where after Bregman's press conference on Sunday, one of the writers up in Boston said, you know, Devers was just kind of walking around. A lot of players were sitting at Bregman's press conference, but Devers was kind of walking around. And we wondered, well, you know, they haven't really officially said that Bregman's playing second base yet.
No.
And I tweeted about it, and somebody very, very arrogantly underneath it said, he's going to be the DH, drama over. No. The drama would increase.
The drama would increase indeed. So Rafael Devers did media yesterday, a day after Alex Bregman was introduced as the new member of the Boston Red Sox. We don't know if it's at third base. We don't know if it's at second base yet. We'll hear from Alex Cora on that in just a minute. Bregman, it's worth noting he was working out at third base yesterday. So that's neither here nor there yet. It's still February, so we'll see. But Rafael Devers is not giving up his spot at third base. Three-time All-Star, he's played third base for the Red Sox since 2017. He's not nearly the defensive player that Alex Bregman is. We should point that out. Bregman is elite. Devers, through an interpreter, said, quote, "Third base is my position. It's what I play. I don't know what their plans are. We had a conversation. I made it clear on what my desires were. Whatever happens from here, I don't know." So that was through an interpreter. He said that. He was much more blunt when he was asked. He was able to understand this question without the interpreter, Rafael Devers. Hey, how about DH?
How would you react if they asked you to DH? How would you feel about that?
No.
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 This is a broke down version of Derek Jeter not moving off of shortstop.
Yes.
You know, Derek Jeter, ultimate team guy who refused to relinquish his position for a better shortstop in A-Rod or ever. Ever. I will never stop playing shortstop, even though I'm not actually all that good at it.
Yeah. No.
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 Hey, all he heard was DH. You know what I mean? Everything else is the Peanuts teacher. Like, womp, 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 DH, womp, womp, womp.
Oh.
No. Don't need an interpreter for that one.
After I just got off, after we just finished talking about how, you know, Major League Baseball is probably, of the three sports that we cover here in Houston, that is probably the one where players are least likely to agitate for trades or hold out on their contracts when they have an existing contract.
Yeah.
Devers might be that exception, you know?
He may be. He may be. So here's Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, former bench coach for the Astros. He's got his buddy Bregman back with him now, and this is Cora kind of trying to fend off the media about this Devers decision that will ultimately need to be made.
Like I said a few days ago, like, decisions are going to be made here about, you know, roster construction and what we're going to do in the future, and we're going to make sure we have the best team possible out there, you know, and he has a lot of pride. We know that, you know, and he feels like he's a third baseman. He's going to work out as a third baseman. And then we're going to make decisions accordingly, you know. But I think here, it's not about Bregman or Devers or Cora. It's about the Red Sox, right? And whatever decision we make is for the benefit of the team.
Mm, that sounds familiar. Mm.
So Bregman's going to have to try to wage a charm campaign against Devers and befriend him and smooth things over with his Spanglish, whatever command he has of his Spanish language, up the Devers. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you think this thing, I mean, it's one day in and we don't cover the Red Sox on a daily basis. We're just covering this thing from afar.
I just love it. I like the drama. It's almost, you know what? This is making it easier for me to emotionally distance myself from Bregman.
Yes.
I am. Your wife's in the executive MBA program at Harvard.
Yeah.
Oh, how fancy is that? You're hated by your teammates.
Yeah.
How you like that, Bregman?
Oh, dude.
You know where you were loved by your teammates? You know where nobody was upset that you were playing third base with the Houston Astros. Houston Astros, we love Bregman. We will never make him try to move off of third base. Houston Astros, we're not the Red Sox. You get everything you deserve, Bregman.
Can you imagine if he tries to curry favor with Rafael Devers by giving him some of his janky ass salsa? Like, here, Rafael, here's the salsa.
No.
He brings it in a gift basket.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have good confetti in it. It's like the plasticky Easter egg basket. Yeah.
Yep. All three ratchet flavors of it. And Devers is like, no.
Throws it against the wall. There's nothing worse to clean up than salsa on the wall either.
Devers twists the jar open, gets out a spoon, takes one bite of it, and he says, no. Oh. Dude, I'm with
this
you.
This situation is worse than Alex Bregman's salsa.
It is. It's not about the $40 million. It's not about third base. His salsa sucks. But I'm with you on one thing that you just said there. I hate losing guys in any sport here, whether they get traded away, whether they leave in free agency. Like, if you get attached to them, then you know it's tough. And even if you're unattached to them when they get traded, like a certain quarterback that got traded a few years ago, I can deal with losing guys as long as they're going somewhere where we can watch a really good soap opera about them.
And there was some
afar.
Drama when Osweiler went to... Okay, I know you were talking about Deshaun. I'm thinking of Osweiler when he went to the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Osweiler, there was drama there. Because remember, Joe Thomas basically told everybody he thought that Osweiler was going to be the starting quarterback, and it was because the Browns had to make a show of looking like it was a legitimate trade for a while,
right?
So they acted like Osweiler was going to be their starting quarterback, because if not, without getting too complex about it, there were reasons that the NFL shouldn't have allowed that trade, but that's neither here nor there.
It had never been done before.
Well, they were basically, it was a salary dump, you know, which you're not allowed to do in the NFL unless you pretend like you really want Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, good job, Cleveland. So Bregman getting dropped down in the middle of this Rafael Devers situation. Cool. I got something to follow now with this whole thing.
This is good. How does this play out?
Yeah.
I think the Red Sox players would likely be like, Bregman's a much better third baseman than you, Rafael.
Right.
Maybe somebody takes him under their arm and kind of says, hey, Rafael, you know, listen, his salsa sucks. Okay, we get it. He's monotone all the time. You never know if he's happy or angry or sad or just an actual robot. But he's a hell of a third baseman.
Yes.
And for the good of the team, maybe just let's people will love you. People will. That's what they need to do with Devers, is explain to him, like, man, people love the guy who sets aside his own ego and does what's right for the team.
And I get it, Devers, that you're looking to, you know, you're looking to play third base is your thing. There's a pride thing involved, a pride element for sure. But guess what? You get to work way less. All you have to do is hit now. You don't even need to run out onto the field. Like, you can just stay in the dugout. We just need you to rake. That's it.
Could extend your career.
Could.
You know?
Could. Yeah, could. One other cut from Alex Cora here. Heim Bloom is the name of a former Red Sox executive who's now with the Cardinals.
Stupid name. I think he was at Nuremberg too.
He was a former executive with the Red Sox who apparently promised Devers that third base was going to be his. Like, you know, things were promised, things were said. Here was Alex Cora on that.
It's strange between
different people here, right? There's a different leader here. So, you know, Heim is in St. Louis right now.
Yeah, man.
Oh, is it Heim? I thought it was Hind.
Heim, C-H-A-I-M, Bloom. He's with
C-H?
C-H-A-I-M, yep. Heim.
Oh, I kind of like that name.
Heim,
okay.
Heim Bloom. But yeah, like, Alex Cora's like, we ain't respecting old arrangements. Like, it's a mob thing. You know, like, there's a new GM in town, and they ain't respecting old arrangements, okay? That promise was made by somebody who's not in the building. So drama there. Altuve spoke yesterday on the other side of the Bregman drama. On the other side of this drama that we are savoring up in Boston is sad Jose Altuve, who doesn't have his friend Alex Bregman anymore. Here is Jose Altuve yesterday on losing Alex Bregman.
We lost a big player, obviously, but, you know, we got to focus on the guys that we have here. He's obviously one of the best that ever played in Houston. And we're all going to remember him and we're going to miss him. But we're also happy for him. He's on a great deal, man. He's, you know, the $40 million is, you know, not a lot of players can get to that, and he got it. So we all, you know, happy for him. And same thing, we got to move on and focus about, you know, the players we have here. Keep moving. We have great talent here, great players. They're definitely going to do everything to win. And we'll see Alex down the road when we play again in Boston or Houston.
Yeah, so he's Jose Altuve's hero now for getting $40 million a year.
Yeah,
that's, he did right by the.
You can tell. I bet when guys on the team saw that, like saw the tweet about the deal, they're like, okay, I get it. You know, like
yeah, I get it. Yeah. I don't know, man. With Altuve too, I think that I don't think he would have had any issues with Bregman. I think he was hoping that. I would imagine he was hoping that by putting some kind of pressure on the Astros themselves, that they'd be the ones that would step in with the deal that blew everybody out of the
water.
Yeah,
maybe.
And it was, I mean, it's a tough position for Altuve to be in because Altuve signed a reasonable deal with the Astros that the Astros stretched beyond what they typically would do, but it's not like, it's also, they didn't really stretch up to the levels of the stupid deals that other MLB teams have done
right.
for aging players. So, yeah. I think Altuve probably knew that he was fighting a losing battle, or an improbable battle, but he just wanted to give it one last shot.
Yeah, I think so. David in Rice Village on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. Did Bregman even think about state income tax and cost of living, or was this just top line ego? I guarantee he thought about it and did the math and said, "Oh wow, my next highest offer is $30 million. I'm getting $40 million." I lived up in that part of the country, David. I promise you, the extra $10 million per year that he got well makes up for state income tax and living in Boston.
What's the state income tax? Probably like 9%. I think the highest is usually like 9%.
I think somebody. Yeah. I think we had a text last week tell us, or maybe a tweet. It said it was 9%, I think, up there in Massachusetts. So, yeah.
So, it's an extra, like, $3.6 million it's still above the average per year. And Bregman was more concerned, obviously, with the average per year and the opt-outs than anything else.
Yeah. Well, and the difference in the two offers more than makes up for that part of it, too. Like, yeah, he probably thought about it and said, hand me a pen. You know, I thought about it for 3 seconds, $10 million. $40 million a year is way more than $30 million. What's that? State income tax, cost of living? Cool story, bro. Hand me a pen. Here's Altuve yesterday on Bregman's gone. How about the guys that are here now?
A lot of guys coming in and living, but I guess that's very cool, man. They're all really good where they are. They all sign great deals. They all great players and going to help their team to win. And so it's here. We got to, you know, kind of like move on and focus on winning. I think the goal remains the same, which is winning. So we're going to go ahead and do it.
All right. Got to make do with the guys you have. Love.
We're
going to
go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've adjusted to the new Astros better than Altuve has. That's not a criticism of Altuve.
No.
I think it's really, really hard for any of those guys that have been there and have been playing at the absolute apex for multiple years as a team, that this is just it's a brand new environment for him because he was on a team when it was really, really bad, and then he was on the team when it was on the upswing. And it's kind of like when you're, Sean, when you're lifting weights in the off season and you decide to just eat as much as possible, bulking season, I used to call it, and you get stronger every time you step in the weight room. Man, that's fun. So that was 2015, even though there was a setback in 2016, it wasn't like that. The standard hadn't been set high yet.
Yeah.
So they were making progress for those first 3 years, and they win the World Series. And then you're sitting at the absolute mountaintop.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's the Astros now definitively are in an area where you're not running on the fumes of the previous greatness. You're not starting from scratch, but you have been knocked down a peg.
Yeah.
And like now you're in a division that's going to be a battleground.
Yep.
And this is, it's an adjustment for Altuve.
No doubt. They are entering the season right now. Well, they'll enter the season in a couple months. We'll see how spring training goes. But as of right now, the Athletic put out their power rankings yesterday. The Astros are 11th. That's a pretty good baseball team. You know, they're pretty good. It's top third. They're close to it. That's not where they're used to being this time. You know, they're used to being fourth or second. You know, even the last couple of years, they're like sixth.
11th is in that top 10% of the middle third. I feel like that's like +8. That's
yeah.
I don't know if that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're outside of the top third,
it's very ite. Yeah.
Ite with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Exclamation point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about where they are right now. So it's where all the teams are here in town. Quite honestly, they're all like hovering around 10th in the power.
Ite.
They are right. This is Houston. We ite. Yeah, that's it. That's our new slogan. All right, let's. We got a lot to get to. We still got a lot of Astro stuff to get to that we will. Seth and I are going to be headed there next week. This time next week, we'll be in West Palm Beach. We thank Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us there. We'll be there all week long next week, headed to games, keeping you guys tuned in both here on the show and on social media and through all the other shows as to what's going on with your Stros down in West Palm Beach. So looking forward to that next week. Headlines coming up next. We got Texans headlines. We'll circle back to the Astros and a little bit of MLB as well.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
And Pendergast. with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. Start with the Texans. Stephon Diggs, officially a free agent. His contract voided yesterday. The Texans take a $16.6 million cap hit on the money they had shoved into future years. Diggs will be a free agent. I suppose I don't rule out Diggs coming back. This is certainly something we'll ask Nick Caserio about tomorrow, Seth, I would imagine, is looking back at the Diggs trade and looking ahead to see if Diggs will be a Texan again. I'm on the record as saying I would like him back at the right price, and I think most people, that's the whole thing. Like, now how much does Stephon Diggs cost? That article that you sent, that you put in the rundown earlier that we were touching on in the open, it was a Pro Football Focus list of wide receiver free agents, that Diggs coming off an ACL is fourth on the list, I think is a real indicator as to how thin that wide receiver group is right now.
Right. For a guy that makes his living with lateral movement and quickness and short area quickness and everything, I don't want to say it's easier to run fast straight ahead than there's concerns anytime a guy in his 30s has a ACL injury, but I think you especially wonder and worry about whether he's going to regain that short area quickness that he's had. And he's been healthy throughout his career, so you don't really have a track record of him coming back from major injuries. But it's not once you get past, T. Higgins, guys are either in their 30s or have had a lot of injuries. The Chris Godwin's an enticing name. Amari Cooper's an enticing name. Marquise Brown is an enticing name. But that's pretty much the top tier of wide receivers out there in free agency.
Yep. You mentioned T. Higgins. In Cincinnati, they're trying to pull off something that you would not pick the Bengals to be the favorite to do just based on their history. But they are attempting to sign their trio of stars that are looking for new deals. Ja'Marr Chase still has not signed a long-term deal with the Cincinnati Bengals. While Justin Jefferson was getting his last year, we've seen other receivers get paid over the last couple of years. Ja'Marr Chase is looking for a deal. You mentioned T. Higgins. Looks like he might get hit with the franchise tag again, which would be a one-year, $26 million deal. They'd have till July 15th to get him done. And then Trey Hendrickson, who I believe led the league in sacks. He was definitely leading the league in sacks late in the season. Their defensive end, who they signed in free agency, who's been a great signing for them. He's been a huge success story as a free agency signing. He's a free agent again. So they're trying to get, I don't know if he's a free agent, but they're trying to get a long-term deal done with all three of those guys.
The Bengals are not as stingy as they used to be. And really, starting with this group and this team that's been competitive with Joe Burrow, actually starting before, a year or two before, they started spending more liberally. DJ Reader was one of the first guys that they started to spend money on. Yep. And yet, they now find themselves in the position of having drafted too well. And, because you got to retain all these guys. And they're going to have to retain all those guys, they're going to have to step up a weight class in terms of how much money they're willing to spend.
Yeah. Hendrickson has a year left on his deal, but obviously he's somebody that they want around for the long term. So I wonder how much of this, Seth, is Joe Burrow going on all those podcasts and interviews on Radio Row and talking about, he's kind of putting pressure on the Bengals. We kind of dogged him a little bit about it. It's like, hey, bro, they made you the highest paid quarterback. This is what happens when you have the highest paid quarterback on your team.
Hey, you know that guy that you can't beat there, Pat Mahomes? He lost Tyreek Hill after they paid Pat Mahomes.
That's right.
Or was it whatever the timing was? Like, they had to make room, and you have to do more with less. If you're a genuinely great quarterback, that's what you do.
Yep.
Tell me all of the incredible draft picks and expensive free agents that Tom Brady had through the years.
Yeah, exactly.
If you think you're that guy, quit bitching about your own team not spending money and just go out and play football.
Yep. Shifting to the Astros, spring training.
Excuse my language, kids. Never use that kind of language.
Spring training underway, unless you're really angry. Then use it. The Astros, spring training underway. Jose Altuve met with the media yesterday. Here's Jose Altuve on losing Alex Bregman. But Alex Bregman got a really good deal, he says.
We lost a big player, obviously, but, we got to focus on the guys that we have here. He's obviously one of the best that ever played in Houston. We all going to remember him and we're going to miss him. But we're also happy for him. He's on a great deal, man. He's the $40 million. Is not a lot of players can get to that, and he got it. So we all, happy for him. And same thing, we got to move on and focus about, the players we have here. Keep moving. We have great talent here, great players. We're definitely going to do everything to win. And
And we'll see Alex down the road when we play in Boston or Houston.
Yeah, we'll see Alex down the road when they play in Boston and Houston. I don't know the dates in Boston. I know the dates in Houston where Bregman, the one time the Red Sox come to play at Daikin Field, Daikin Park, whatever it is in August. August 11th, 12th, and 13th. It's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So that'll be your chance to see Alex Bregman here. It's way more interesting on the Bregman side of things than it is losing Bregman here. Like, Bregman has stepped into a situation in Boston where, and he's not causing any of the drama. It's Rafael Devers, the third baseman for the Red Sox, who said yesterday, you pointed out yesterday, Seth, that there were several Boston reporters, there were people noting that Devers was one of the few Red Sox who wasn't there watching, like watching intently Alex Bregman's press conference.
Yeah.
He was just kind of lurking, kind of side-eyed,
looking over at it, wondering, because the organization hadn't yet said that Bregman was going to second base or anything like that. And then Devers later, the next day, would very emphatically say, no way, no how, not going to second base, not going to DH.
Yeah, he's not moving off of third base. And they asked him, and he said all these things through an interpreter. The one thing he didn't say through an interpreter was when he was asked about moving to DH.
How would you react if they asked you to DH? How would you feel about that?
No.
No.
Did the interpreter even have a chance to explain, to translate, or did,
no.
did he just hear DH and he said no?
It was funny because if the cut kept going, because I saw a few different versions of it.
Yeah.
The one I sent to Ben didn't have this on it. But the reporter who asked the question was like, don't need an interpreter for that one, huh? And Devers kind of laughed and nodded his head. It's funny. I would, if you're interested in the drama on the Boston side of things, I find it fascinating because Alex Cora is going to have to like manage. Like he's the manager. He's literally going to have to manage this thing. Go find the cuts, the videos of Devers answering questions with his interpreter. Devers, the look on Devers' face the whole time, like he looks very agitated the whole time. He's not hiding his emotions.
And remember, Devers is a guy I've always enjoyed playing against because he seems like a happy-go-lucky, fun guy.
Yeah.
He kind of jokes around with the pitchers, the Astros pitchers and whatnot. I feel like for him to be adamant like that is probably a shock to a lot of people. Maybe. I don't know. I'm judging this based completely on just watching him play.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a real diva behind the scenes. He's not a good third baseman is the whole thing.
No.
This isn't even like, okay, Derek Jeter was overrated as a shortstop, but it's not like he was a bad shortstop.
Right.
I mean, he should have played third base and A-Rod should have played short. But, I mean, Devers is not a good fielder. He's had one season in his career where he's had a positive run value defensively. He's not good. And for him to just stand his ground when there's clearly a better option for third base, this could get dramatic, man.
Well, Seth, I mean, it's not something they're going to have to deal with for a long time in Boston. I mean, Devers is only signed through 2033.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll become a better fielder with time, I'm sure.
Signed an 11.
He's only been in the majors for about 8 years now.
He's going to be making $31 million a year in his age 34, 35, and 36 seasons. It's the opposite of Altuve's contract.
This is a weird thing about Devers. If I had the inclination to do this, maybe one of our listeners already knows this. So he's at a negative run value as a fielder every year except one, in which he was, in 2019, he was plus 13. He was remarkably good for one year and then just bad the rest of them.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's weird. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Those are your headlines. We're a little light on actual headlines, but we are heavy on actual content. And a reminder too, today is a Rodeo Ticket Tuesday here on Sports Radio 610. Chance to win a 4-pack of tickets next hour to Bun B's Birthday Bonanza. Yes. That's on March 7th, Friday, March 7th. So live at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, your chance to win tickets to that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon loves him some D'Amico Ryans. Joe Mixon was on Josina Anderson's podcast. And if you want to get a gauge for what the guys think of their head coach behind the scenes, This will get you feeling good about that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.